there. This is Seth Wires from Channel 9 again with Rowan Miller talking about Entity Framework 7. So what feature do you want to talk about now?
Now I want to talk about some of the different key generation strategies we have in Entity Framework 7. Historically in EF6, we really only supported having values for keys generated by the database during insert or generating them yourself on the client.
I see.
All right. So let's cut over to VS.
Okay.
This is the model we've been using in a couple of videos now. We have blogs and posts. We've got the context here, again, wired up to target SQL Server. And then up the top here, I'm inserting three different blogs and calling save changes.
Right.
Let's just run this and see what happens by default. So by default, we use the identity pattern in SQL Server to generate keys. And we saw this before when we were looking at SQL Profiler. If we go down and take a look at the last thing to execute, in here we'll see that when we specify the columns we're inserting into, we don't specify the primary key.
Right.
Because SQL Server is generating them for us.
And usually it's like an auto-incrementing integer.
Exactly. It's auto-incrementing. It starts at 1 and it increments by 1 each time.
Right.
And then we see from the output, we're actually outputting the values that SQL Server generated for each row. Okay. So this is one possible pattern. But in some cases, it's kind of nice to know the values ahead of time before I insert. That can simplify the SQL that gets generated because I'm not having to capture the values as they're inserted and then write them back out to EF.
And also when you're doing like a master detail type stuff, it's good to know what that ID is beforehand too.
Yeah, it actually, that also simplifies the save changes process because I no longer need to kind of write one parent, get the value back, populate that into the child, write that to the database.
Right.
And so I can actually simplify the whole save change thing. And there's other cases too. Sometimes it's just nice to know what the primary key is going to be before you save it to the database. You can imagine auditing. If I don't have to audit some stuff, then save, and then try and match up the keys to say, what was this, the actual key that was given to this thing I inserted.
Okay.
I have them all up front. I'm good to go. I know everything.
Got it. So let's see how this works.
Okay, so another pattern that we've enabled in Entity Framework 7 is the ability to use a sequence in the database, in SQL Server, to generate blocks of IDs that are then pulled back into memory and allocated to new objects on the go. So we'll go here. Now I want to call out, I'm using beta 6 at the moment, a pre-release build of that. We haven't released beta 6 yet, so this is just the latest build from our nightly feed. The APIs I'm using here will change by the time we actually RTM.
Okay.
But the pattern will be the same. I basically call one method. So I'm saying for SQL Server to look at some configuration for SQL Server, and then use sequence, which isn't really a good name because I'm doing more than just using a sequence.
Right.
I can use sequences to do the same pattern as identity. I can use sequences to say, just give this thing a primary key when I save.
Okay.
In this case, we're doing kind of a pattern where we pull back a block of values from a sequence and allocate them out. So the name will change. Now that's actually all I need to do. Everywhere that it was using identity before, SQL Server will start now using this, getting blocks of values back from the sequence. So we'll run. And this time, if we go look at our SQL, we'll see that now we are, in fact, including the primary key. And the values, if we look at them here, we'll see are being included in line. Now, those values are fetched ahead of time, if we go look at the previous SQL statement that ran, by querying the next block of values from the default sequence.
I see. So a couple of questions. And these are maybe my lack of knowledge of how sequences work. How many values does it pull a priori? Is it the same amount of inserts that you're doing?
No, it's configurable. So it actually pulls it. Now, the nice thing about this is you actually get your primary keys allocated as soon as you add the thing to the context. So before you hit save changes, you actually have the real primary key value that it's going to be in the database as soon as you add it to the context.
I see.
So as soon as EF detects that it's going to need some values, it will go and fetch them in the background and start using them. By default, in this particular build, it pulls them back in blocks of 10. But that will be totally configurable.
And then if you pull 11, it's going to fetch two blocks. If you're going to do insert of 11 different objects, it'll fetch two blocks.
Well, because they get allocated out as you add, it's actually going to pull back 10, and it will use those to allocate to 10 objects. And then when it finds an 11th object, it needs one, it's going to pull them back. Now, the other thing we support, obviously that could introduce some bottlenecks. If you're doing that, maybe you've got all web requests in an app domain. You don't want to be constrained while it's going and looking for data. So we actually have the ability to have several active blocks at the same time as well, which get round robin between them.
So this interesting. So then the second question is, obviously, and I'm at fault for this, I think all programmers are, we have this notion that there's only one user using our program and it's the only thing in the entire universe.
Yep.
What about collisions?
So you won't get those. These are thread safe, and that's actually why we do the multiple blocks as well, so that if we have hundreds of web requests coming in every second, we're not blocked going through this bottleneck, especially when it's time to go and get more data from the database. So they kind of round robin through the different sequence blocks we have, which means you can serve more requests.
I see. So when the sequence is returned from SQL Server,
yep.
It happens sort of idempotently, which means that if someone else asks for a sequence, it's going to start at the n plus 1 from the next sequence.
Exactly. So really the way it works, we've set the block size as 10 by mm-hmm. default in this demo, in this build that we're using. So the first value you get from the sequence will be 1. The next person that asks for it is going to get 11,
right.
And then 21. So you'll get blocks of 10.
And then those that are reserved, what happens when they get put back?
Well, they don't really get put back. If you don't use them, then they just disappear.
It's a gap.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you're really retentive that way, you're going to have gaps, but
yeah.
It's okay.
So to be clear, this pattern isn't for everybody. It's also not what we do by default. Mm-hmm. By default, we do the same identity pattern that we did in EF6. But if you want to opt into this world where it's useful to know primary key values ahead of time, or you want simpler save changes SQL, then this is an option we have for you.
This is really clever. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Well, cool. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on Hilo. Is it called Hilo?
Hilo is one name for it.
Is there another name? What do other people call it?
We probably refer to it as Hilo internally. Getting keys ahead of time. I don't know, you could call it a lot of different things.
We'll call it the Getting Keys Ahead of Time Hilo. Fantastic feature for EF7 Magic Unicorns.
Yes, that will make a good class name.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us. Thanks so much for watching, and we will catch you next time. Take care.